If we can do open roll call. Oh, I guess that's me. Sorry about that. Let's move on to 1.1, Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to move to item 1.2, roll call.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair. Committee Member Gladson.
Present.
Committee Member Lopez.
Here.
Committee Member Ledesma.
Here.
Committee Member Gross.
Here.
Committee Member McDermott.
Here.
Vice Chair Farfan.
Here.
And Chair Skorponich is not here this evening, and let the record show there is a quorum.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to open the floor to members of the public to address the committee on matters not listed in the agenda. That's within the subject matter jurisdiction of the DRC, provided that no action may be taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes. Please submit a card and come up to the podium.
Name and lights. Good evening, Design Review Committee members. I'm Laura Thomas, 40-year resident of Orange Park Acres of Orange. I'm a very concerned citizen about the ongoing project at 7417 Grovewood. That began over 4 years ago, back in 2021. I'm also a member of the Orange Park Acres Advisory Committee. So my neighbors and I, we are here because we are not sure that the approval process has gone through the design review committee and it's been reviewed. Please clarify if that has. It is significant, not just a bathroom remodel. It is adding 2,600 square feet plus a pool house, and a garage with an observation deck. Shouldn't a massive project like that be reviewed for its architecture and landscape? The applicant was also given a permit to build a block wall and ripped out landscaping that was approved while this is going on. How does that happen? There's an understanding he intends to now double the size of the garage structure from 4 to 8. It will become a 3,000 square foot garage with an observation deck. And this will look down Grovewood to the neighbor's property, into their home and their backyard and their pool. These are not two level lots, they are that are side by side. Even planner Monique Schwartz visited the site and stated, "This is not what I thought it looked like." We invite you to look at the Grovewood site. Again, my question is, how does a block wall and a ministerial action happen when there's a project in motion? The ask on Monday night at the May 5th Planning Commission meeting was to consider postponing construction of the block wall until such time revisions of the total project are submitted, including this intention to expand to 3,000 square foot garage. It has been reviewed by staff, the Orange Park Acres Advisory Committee, and the Design Review Committee. OPA wants you to know that we truly appreciate the opportunity to weigh in on projects that affect Orange Park Acres. The Committee of Orange Park Acres Advisory has the knowledge and understanding to preserve and protect the Orange Park Acres specific plan, its guidelines in retaining open space and rural atmosphere. I have copies of a summary of what has happened and what has been on the CUP I'd like to give you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
There's another speaker.
Is there another speaker? Thank you. Please present your card and come up to the microphone.
My husband's going to show pictures. Hi, my name is Lori Sandoval. My husband and I live at 7343 East Grovewood Lane. We are immediately adjacent and west of the property under construction, 7417 East Grovewood Lane. Our property sits approximately 6 feet below the Wahi property. We've lived there 29 years. 7417 East Grovewood was purchased late 2019 by Ash Wahi. At that time, we requested communication with the owner, contractor, architects to ensure our concerns were considered in the planning process. Some of our main concerns included, number one, setbacks to ensure privacy since we sit below grade and limit the views into our primary living areas of our home. Number two, light mitigation into the master bedroom, bath, patio, entertaining, and yard from his proposed garage and gym. Number three, we wanted input into landscaping along the property line to screen the view onto his property. The CUP was issued October 30th, 2021, and included a 1,400 square foot, four-car garage setback 80 feet from the property line using the existing driveway as primary access. It had a staggered gym that was set below the garage grade, about 45 feet from the property line. We were agreeable to this plan. Since last July, the plan has radically changed from the CUP issued. The current plan submitted to the city includes a 3,000 square foot, eight-car garage, about 32 by 90, with a 900 square foot second story gym and observation deck overlooking our property. The total height of the second story will be over 20, about 22 feet. Views will be directly into the primary living areas of our house, the master bedroom, bath, kitchen, patio, entertaining, and pool areas. The primary access to the garage has been changed to run parallel to our master bedroom and dining room windows and the backyard patio area. Further compromising the situation is a 6-foot wall that will be set back 5 feet from our property and will sit about 10 feet above our line, our sight line, due to the grading between the two properties. We feel that the project no longer reflects the original spirit and intent of the current CUP or addresses our original concerns. We have asked the city to enforce the CUP. We would hope and we would ask that new garage plans and site grading be subject to your committee design review. A new or revised CUP, we feel, should reflect the spirit and the intent of the original CUP and address our original concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there another speaker? Perfect. Please turn in your card. Come up to the podium. Thank you. You have 3 minutes.
Yes. My name is David Sandoval. Live next door to the construction site. In October 2021, 3.5 years ago, the City of Orange issued a CUP to Ash, the new owner of the property next to us, to remodel the existing home and to build a new four-car garage and other structures. Negotiations were done and concessions were made both by Orange Park Acres, the neighbors, including myself and my wife, and other people on the street. A primary concern back then was concern to this negotiation was privacy to our backyard, since he is so much higher than us. Okay, on June 5th, a modification to the CUP was agreed to by all concerned. He just moved the gym. Now, 3.5 years later, 5 years after construction, he has a new plan. Okay, he wants to... He's proposing to radically change the size and location of the garage as follows. He's going to double the size of the garage from 1,400 square feet to 3,000 square feet, which means it's 93 feet long by 33 feet wide, bigger than most people's houses. It includes a second story gym on top of 12 feet above us. He's going to have a gym on top looking directly into our back of our house, okay, with an observation deck right on the property line at 18 feet higher than our house. Okay, this includes a second-story gym with an observation deck with views into our living areas and yard. The observation deck will be 18 feet above our grade. Changes to the garage and driveway run right next to the side of our house, right next to our main bedroom, main living areas. And then he's got a new 6-foot wall that's going to be 6 foot on his side, but on our side, it's going to be 10 feet because of the grade going up. Our house is lower. His house goes up. 6 feet on his side, 10 feet on our side. Okay. We have urged the city to enforce the original CUP as modified. We would request any revisions of the modification to the CUP reflect our privacy concerns and be reviewed by this committee. It should also align with the OPA goals and objections. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody other than the three? Okay. At this time, I'd like to close the public comments. And thank you for coming and for your comments. I don't recall reviewing this. I'll be sending some emails and figuring out when and why and whatever we can do. But thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to move on to item number three, consent calendar. Okay, all matters listed under this consent calendar are considered to be routine by the Design Review Committee and will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussions of said items unless members of the Design Committee and or staff or public request item to be removed on the consent calendar. Is there any comments on the consent calendar from the committee?
Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the consent calendar with the minutes from the April 16th meeting and approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Perfect. We have a motion and a second. Please vote. It looks like it's passed. Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to move to item number 3.1. This is approval of minutes of the City of Orange December Committee. Wait, I already did that. Sorry about that. I missed my numbers here. I'd like to move to item number 4.1, a new business. This is a proposal to construct a new over 200,000 square feet warehouse facility at 534 West Strzok Avenue. Design Review Committee number 4. Mrs. Gladstone would like to make a statement.
Yes, Vice Chair Farfand. I would like to put on the record that I had a ex parte in-person briefing with Prologis and their team. And a member of their team would be Margaret, who's going to present later, the architect, and a gentleman on a Zoom call on April 22nd, 2025 at 2 p.m. at City Hall in Conference Room B. The subject of the meeting was tonight's project, and the presentation was given to us from their team. The meeting also included Vice Chair Farfan and Member Lopez, staff Monique Schwartz and Chad Ortlib, and Christine Shea from our city attorney's office. The content of the meeting was to get a briefing, an overview of the project, learn more about it, and no action was taken.
Thank you very much. Is there any other comments regarding ex parte?
Yes, Chair. I would like to state in a much less detailed fashion that I also met with the applicant in a very similar meeting where no action was taken on a similar date. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was at the same meeting, and no action was taken.
Thank you.
I was also on a similar meeting, but that was a Zoom, and no action was taken.
Perfect. And I believe we were mentioned on Ms. Glasson's statement, so I think we'll continue. Thank you very much. All righty. I'd like to request a presentation from staff.
Sure. Skylar, would you mind sharing the screen? Thank you. Good evening, Vice Chair Farfan and members of the Design Review Committee. The item before you this evening is a proposal to redevelop a 10-acre industrial site with a new warehouse facility. The applicant is Maggie Hsu of Prologis. The Prologis development team is present this evening for any questions that you may have. In 2023, the City Council approved a proposal and environmental impact report for the construction of a 57,900 square foot truck terminal project. After project approval, the applicant determined that a truck terminal was no longer in line with the current market demands and decided to pursue new entitlements for a warehouse facility. The current project is a proposal to construct a new 213,572 square foot warehouse facility, a 450 square foot detached pump house, truck yard, and related site improvements. The warehouse building is situated towards the center of the site. The east side is inset to accommodate a truck loading dock with 27 dock doors, 2 delivery doors, and 45 trailer parking spaces. The warehouse building has been designed to accommodate 2 potential tenants. Main entrances are located on the northwest and southwest corners of the building. The interior will be configured with 199,572 square feet of warehouse space and 14,000 square feet of office space. Vehicle access is provided by 3 driveways off of Struck Avenue. These driveways connect to interior drive aisles that lead to 110 parking spaces. Pedestrian access to the building is provided along the north, east, and west sides, and pedestrian gates are located at the truck yard entries. The project incorporates a contemporary industrial design. Architectural features include 45-foot tall flat roof lines, enhanced corner detailing at the main entrances, vertical and horizontal reveals, and geometric scoring details. Building materials include concrete tilt-up wall panels, black anodized aluminum storefront windows, green reflective glazing, painted metal canopies at the main and painted metal canopies at the main entrances. The exterior color scheme consists of shades of gray and white. A 14-foot tall detached pump house and attached trash enclosure will be located adjacent to the northeast corner of the building. A second trash enclosure is proposed adjacent to the southwest corner of the building, southeast corner. The pump house and trash enclosures will incorporate coordinating colors and materials as the warehouse. A 6-foot wide sidewalk is proposed along the entire property frontage that will connect to the existing sidewalk at the Struck Avenue cul-de-sac. Water-efficient plant materials is proposed along the street frontage and at the building foundation as seen from the public right-of-way, including Italian cypress, crepe myrtle, and canary island pine trees, as well as a mix of shrubs and ground cover, including dwarf bottle brush, star jasmine, and yellow lantana. The project interior will include Brisbane box trees along the west and south property lines and similar groupings of trees, shrubs, and ground cover. There is no landscape proposed along the east property line that borders the existing railroad right-of-way. Project hardscape includes concrete walkways and decorative paving at the 3 driveway entries. 52 existing trees will be removed, and a total of 165 new trees will be proposed, which is consistent with the city's benchmark tree calculation. New open wrought iron fencing is proposed along the perimeter boundaries of the site. No vehicle access gates are proposed at the 3 driveway entries off of Struck Avenue. A 14-foot tall concrete screen wall with metal sliding gates will be located at the entrance to the truck yard, and metal swinging gates will be located at the southeast corner of the building. The proposed wall and vehicle gates will provide secured access and screening to the truck yard and the loading dock area. Wall-mounted LED light fixtures are proposed on all building elevations, and LED pole lighting will be located in the parking lot and drive aisles for safety and security purposes. Overall, the project presents an integrated design that is intended to complement the eclectic industrial and commercial character of the area, and the project is compliant with the development standards of the industrial zone. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you for the presentation. At this time, I'd like to ask the committee if they have any questions for staff.
Based on the conversations and meetings we had, what changes were made to their submittal?
No changes.
Any other questions?
Monique or Ms. Schwartz, there is really one finding that we focus on for this project. Would you like to, I think it'd be helpful to refresh all of us that finding and what we do with it in terms of what our job at hand is. It's rare to just have one finding for projects, but I think that would be good for me to hear it again.
So the finding is that the project design upholds community aesthetics through the use of an internally consistent integrated design theme and is consistent with all adopted specific plans, applicable design standards, and their required findings.
Any other questions? I have some questions for the committee. I think one was already answered. Let me find my notes here. There's an existing sidewalk beyond the property line. What is the width of that sidewalk before you enter in front of the building?
It'll be 6 feet wide.
6 feet wide.
Yeah.
And I noticed in the pictures, there's behind the sidewalk, there's some lots have like a parkway. Do we know, or landscape area before the building, do we know approximately, is there like a setback or is there any guidelines that exist currently on the street?
I don't believe there are any parkways or street trees existing on Struck.
Okay, I just remember a lot of pines on the, I don't know what happened to the screen, but if there's the existing photos that are shared, if you can scroll through some of those, I'll let you.
I actually have Google Maps up.
Okay.
And
yes, our screens are black.
But the screen is not, the screen is.
Oh, okay, got it.
Vice Chair Farfan, yeah, for the record, we're working to resolve some technical difficulties in casting to the screens.
No problem. Closer to the intersection, I believe there's some pine trees.
Closer to the intersection of Struck and and Batavia, are you talking about?
Maybe.
I do not find any parkways. Nor are there any existing street trees along the entire street.
Got it. Great to know. My last question is, on the previous approval, how many parking spaces were they proposing? Do you recall that?
Perhaps the applicant might be able to answer that. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared with that
question. Okay, no problem. Would the applicant have that answer by chance? Why don't we move to, does the client have a presentation prepared? Why don't we move to that, and then if that comes up, then we'll go from there.
Good evening, dear Design Review Committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight on behalf of Prologis. My name is Maggie Xu, and I'm the development manager for the project. Before I share details about our project, I would like to express my gratitude to the city staff for their cooperation, assistance, and guidance throughout the planning process. Their support has been invaluable. While the staff did an excellent job presenting the project, I would like to highlight the following areas of our project. On elevation design, on landscape design, and on sustainability. I have some visuals of the for the presentation. Maybe we will circulate after the meeting for you. In addition to these, I have a few additional, since our conversation, I brought some additional images. I'm here tonight with my design team, Mr. Jaime Cruz, architect from HPA, Josh Lesinski, civil engineer with Webb, Will Cochran with Hunter Landscape, a design builder with us. Together, we'll answer any questions you have on design. So our proposed warehouse spans at 213,572 square feet, which includes two 7,000 square feet offices. It's a speculative development, which would allow for two office tenants, warehouse tenants. The design of the north and west elevation emphasizes the office corners. And then we utilize a vertical design elements to break up the wall masses. We went with the industrial modern architectural style with a neutral color palette to align with the surrounding neighborhood, which is eclectic and mostly industrial. To provide some context, I would like to highlight two Prologis projects in Orange County, which were approved recently. One is a project in Garden Grove, and the other one is in Brea. I brought some photos. Maybe later when the system is working, you guys can see. Each of these buildings adheres with a standard warehouse specification, as well as our Prologis branding requirements. So we have kind of various shades of gray as well, green. We have our logo and monument sign design. We have our kind of green glass spec that we use, which is energy efficient. But they adhere to all these requirements while incorporating cues from the local area context to ensure that they're unique yet harmonious with their surroundings. Regarding landscape design, the original truck terminal project was approved in 2023 with 78 trees, and the larger trees were upsized to 24-inch boxes. For this warehouse design, we're proposing a total of 164 trees and maintaining the larger trees at 24-inch box size. We kept the following tree species from the original approval. There are 12 canary pines, 10 magnolia trees, 23 crepe myrtles, and 3 Chinese pistache trees. Most of the landscape selection are either native or locally sourced. And they also have low or moderate water requirements, supporting our commitment to environmental stewardship. Lastly, I wanted to touch upon our sustainability practice. Prologis, we're known for our, we're recognized globally as a sustainability leader based on our ESG performance. In June 2022, we committed to achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions across the entire value chain by 2040. This commitment translates into the following aspect for the project. We will be achieving LEED silver certification, reducing embodied carbon by at least 5% for the project, with a minimum of 15% reduction in concrete. incorporating LED lighting in both interior, indoors, and outdoors. Upgrading four-ply roofing to TPO, and upgrading the roof structure to solar ready, and providing support to our local community here in Orange. In closing, we have reviewed the staff report and concur with the conditions of approval. We appreciate your consideration and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have. We look forward to your approval. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation. Before we move to questions from the committee, I'd like to open it to the public. Is there any public comments that pertain to this specific project? If there is, please approach the podium. No? All right. At this time, I'd like to open it up to the committee and see if there's any questions for the professionals here.
I have a question about the geometric scoring, which I didn't notice when I saw this project before. And I'd just like a little bit more information about how that's going to be achieved and what the design intent of the geometric scoring is.
Yes, I would like to invite my architect to come and talk about the design.
Please state your name.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Jaime Cruz. I'm with HPA Architecture. In answer to your question about the scoring line, those will be actually concrete reveals in that geometric shape to give it that design. So it's similar to the horizontal and the vertical reveals that you see on the elevations. This is the same thing, just it's done in a geometric shape to give you that unusual appearance on those panels.
So are those reveals painted, or is this just a shadow effect, or how far distant do you envision those being able to be perceived? And it's quite different than the rest of the you know, vertical and horizontal that you have on the building. So I'm just wondering, what are you trying to achieve with the diagonals?
Right. So the reveals themselves that you see on the that are the diagonals, there's the same depth as the other horizontal reveals you see on the building. So it is embedded into the concrete. It has that shape embedded in there. And it would be painted. The concrete would be painted so they stand out. But usually the depth itself will provide a shadow. So it provides a different sort of accent piece based on the shadows on those elevations. So the design intent was to make that block elevation, as you're moving away from the main office area where you have the corner of the building, where you have the glass, to do something that's out of the ordinary.
Okay, thank you very much.
Is there more questions for the architect?
Yes, I believe each of us here have shared our suggestions at the previous meeting, and so I won't repeat those. But I do have one question I may not have asked. And let me preface, this is going to be a 24/7 operation with the trucking coming, going Monday through Sunday, 24 hours a day.
So it's a warehouse in use, and there will be trucks that will enter. Previously, it was a truck terminal, but now this is a warehouse use. I think the office hours is depending on the tenant. That's why we're trying to get the 24-hour operation hour.
Okay, and so the purpose of my question is, if the trucks are going to be coming all hours of the day and night, are those trucks going to have backup horns on them? And let me tell you, I probably mentioned it during the meeting, but I'm going to repeat this one. There's a brand new neighborhood across from the cul-de-sac. And has anyone looked at, if they're going to have backup horns, are they going to wake up the neighbors in the middle of the night?
So I think to have the back, I chatted a little bit with our operations team, to have the backup horns is so that a car or another vehicle wouldn't run into it. It's for safety reasons.
Right.
So that's the reason why they would have backup horns.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a safety issue, especially for those large semi-tractor trailers. I'm just wondering if the decibel level is going to reach across the cul-de-sac to that brand new neighborhood, and is the city going to start getting complaints from backup horns, you know, going off in the middle of the night?
So I do have my traffic and my CEQA consultant here as well, who might be able, because I think with our design team, this is not something that we would be able to.
And I just wanted to chime in that kind of those questions and those concerns, they're well regarded, but it's kind of outside the purview of what this commission oversees.
Okay.
So do you have something quick to respond?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good afternoon, Haseeb Qureshi, Urban Crossroads. Our firm prepared the technical studies, including the noise analysis for this project. And to answer your question plainly, we did consider that proposed residential use just north of the site, along with other residential uses around, and we considered that in our analysis, and all the impacts to those receptors were less than significant, so within acceptable limits consistent with the city standards.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other questions? Yes, do we have any landscape questions?
Yes, I have a landscape question concerning the perimeter trees.
Hi, good evening. I'm Will Cochran, Hunter Landscape. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. So the trees that you have around the perimeter, and I know I saw somewhere the gates and the walls, but I can't remember. But this is the perimeter is a wall, isn't it? A concrete wall? Or it's not a fence, is it?
It's a wrought iron fence.
It is wrought iron fence? Yeah. Okay, wrought iron fence. And it's either 6 or 8 feet tall, right? Okay, so these are the Brisbane box trees that are around the perimeter. I just want to ask you, are these trees going to hang over into the neighbor's property and be trimmed, you know, right at the property line? Or are you going to allow enough space for those trees to achieve their canopy? Because that is a condition that will be on the project, that the trees be allowed to achieve their height and their canopy for width and for height.
Sure. Total canopy or maintainable canopy?
They're mature canopy. They're mature height. I mean, this is... Well, tell me what you envision here.
Sure. Tristania conferta, which is the Brisbane box, that's a very common property line screening tree. It's evergreen, it's bushy, it's reasonably clean, and they can be maintained to stay within property lines, et cetera. I would say this tree gets, left unmaintained, which would be unconventional in a scenario like this. They can get 60 feet tall, 40 feet wide. If we need to go back to the drawing board on a different species of tree, we can, but these can be maintained easily to be within property lines and probably have a 20 to 30 foot maximum height.
Okay, because as you know, when you look at the drawing, you see the trunk of the tree is like almost up against, but it's not a wall, it's a wrought iron fence, so that makes it a little better. But I just want to make sure that it is maintainable, because when you plant a tree up against a wall, you only get half a tree. And that's my concern. You're telling me that it is going to be maintainable as a screening and shade providing tree, which is why it's there.
Absolutely. In fact, not only is it maintainable, this is a very standard use for this specimen of tree. So.
Okay. Okay. So while you're here, I just want to point out one other thing on the drawings. It says you're providing 1,119 trees, which I think is only 119, but, you know, just a little typo that I caught.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Just to show you that I did look at the drawings. Thank you for that answer. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Right. Hey, as a landscaper, I'd love to.
Thank you. Is there any other landscape questions?
Yes. In your presentation, you said that you tried to take cues from the local context in color. And, you know, when you leave the train station in Old Town and you move north, you know, you're confronted with some really great old brick buildings that kind of harken to the history of the city, especially right along that part of the train tracks. Not so much more a block in, but right on the train tracks. I know we talked about this. Why didn't you consider using colors that were kind of reflective and take the cue in the local context of the brick material, the kind of rough metals, you know, that just have kind of a vintage feel to it? It's not an expense issue as much as context. So can you address the issue of context, why the color was chosen versus kind of adhering to what that kind of nature was and feel? Because people on the trains, you know, they get a feel coming into Fullerton and others, there's a sense of place, and you have a context that you can draw upon and reference that in the architecture of the color palette.
Thank you for the suggestion during our briefing, and afterwards our architect and me and we kind of just had multiple discussions about kind of reviewing.
Can you move closer to the mic? Thank you.
Reviewing the surrounding area and you know, kind of revisit kind of our kind of initial design intention. We did look at the brick, and we really feel that adding brick to this industrial, to our current building, yes, you know, there are some context, but you know, with the industrial modern design that we are presenting, we feel that there's a gap. Now, we did look at the rail. We have a spur on our project, and that we're gonna remove, and then we are kind of looking at it and thinking maybe we could kind of add some elements of the rail into the building facade. That was something that we looked at.
Just to be clear, to respect the budget issues that you have and the proprietary issues and certainly the operational issues, I would not necessarily advise brick material be used, but the color palette. Let me just make clear. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that the materials themselves, but did you consider looking at those design cues for color that would make the color palette something that was specific or at least reflective? In your presentation, you said that you look for local context.
Right.
And that this reflects local context. How does, and we addressed this as a question before, so how did you address local context? And it doesn't look like the colors have changed. It looks like it's still.
I brought two other projects from Prologis, and the grays and the green are our color palette. I was going to show you that all these other projects in different neighborhoods were also using exactly the same kind of colors. However, we use shape, we use kind of the massing to really try to blend into the neighborhood. Color-wise, you know, I think we would use it as like some sort of signage color with a tenant or a trim color. But for the base shell building, we have been pretty consistent in utilizing these various shades of white, green, gray, and dark gray, and our Prologis green.
Just to be clear, mm-hmm. I just want to hold you to your terms that you've used. Mm-hmm. So when you use the term that you look for local context and cues, mm-hmm. and at the same time you say that the Garden Grove building and the Brea building use the same color palette, I would...
That's why I wanted to show you those photos. Monique, are you able to...
I'm sorry, I can't
okay. guess. But they're also gray and green? It sounds like they're proprietary colors, not local context colors.
I
think it's the branding.
Right, so you're drawing upon...
So for the Garden Grove project, it has a pretty big office. It's a nail, a D&D tenant. And then that facade looks kind of more on the office side, right? And then for the Brea project, It was a Duke Realty project. And when it came to Prologis, we changed their branding color to reflect our branding color, which is green, gray, and with green glass.
So to be clear, just to be clear, you're not looking for local context, you're looking for proprietary colors.
So what we try to do is by utilizing architectural forms, by utilizing design and landscape, we're trying to blend into the surrounding neighborhood. I mean, this is, we're talking about a industrial warehouse building. So that is kind of the confines that we have.
Sorry, Maggie mentioned landscape, and I was kind of chomping at the bit. I understand it's not not as exciting as architecture or anything like that, but if your question at all pertains to landscape, I'd be happy to address that.
I apologize.
If it doesn't, I won't be offended.
You know what? We have some extremely talented landscape people here. I do not commit. I'm more from the architectural side itself, and that's why I'm focusing on color. I apologize. Maybe it's more for Mr. Cruz to address that question itself. But Mr. Cruz, when you did this design based on your client's desire to take local context and cues, please, looking at what we see in front of us here, share with us how Orange or our neighborhood or our Old Town District on the train line is incorporated into your design. Thanks.
Yeah, so what we did, which is unique to this Prologis building versus the two examples that Michu just presented, is the mullions, if you can zoom in there. The proprietary Prologis for mullion design is a clear anodized, as you can see those pictures. This was a recent change on this project going to black mullions. The reason was because of the context that we were doing. And I think it's that along with, yeah, it's a little hard, but if you zoom into the picture of the existing building, those other examples, that's clearly anodized. That's typically what the market is doing for industrial warehouse buildings. But in this case, we went to a black appearance of it for that reason.
So the top canopy is like a painted rail on the top, above the second floor window, as well as on the first floor as well. It's a little blurry. I don't know, can you see?
Yeah, what's being shown here is the primary rendering, which is the one you see up on the boards here, which is a tube steel painted white. But this was based on our preliminary meetings and that comment. If we were to take actually a rail spur and replace that tube steel canopy to be a rail spur painted black, so it would add the texture of that material versus just a very smooth finish.
Thank you for the explanation. Thank you very much. So the image we see here is different.
Yeah. The image here is the primary one. That's what
okay,
we...
Okay, very good. Just making sure. Thanks.
Yeah. We did do our homework after the call. Yeah.
I've got one last question, Committee Member Farfan, before you jump into landscape. And it's related to landscape. I'm sorry to have you come back up. Just to touch on trees one more time. I think it was... I don't have the landscape plans in front of me, but I think it was previously mentioned that the new trees were 24-inch box trees.
Yes, sir.
Is that the consistent size throughout, or do you have anything larger planned?
On this project at this time, nothing larger. It's 15-gallon and 24-inch box trees. The gotcha. Primary trees, or I guess the highest quantity of trees, are your 15-gallon screening trees, which are on, yeah.
Are there any areas that you would maybe consider going with a larger box tree if you could? Like, I'd say maybe in the immediate entry or areas that you would want to enhance or maybe have the perception of more mature tree?
I'm a landscaper. There's no area I wouldn't want to plant a larger tree. So,
yeah.
But this property specifically, with the amount of with the tree count that we wanted to meet here, it doesn't afford a lot of area for larger specimen. However, if it would please the commission, at the entryway, you could probably put up a 36-inch box tree or a 48-inch box tree. Currently, what we have there is magnolia, which is consistent with other trees in the city. So I think those trees are excellent specimen. They grow nicely in a 24-inch box tree, or I'm sorry, in a 24-inch box size, but 36-inch box could fit, and I think it would be nice to upsize those.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Any other questions regarding landscape? I do have some questions on landscape. Unfortunately, the equipment isn't working, but it did come on, and the street does have in the parkway Canary Island Pines flanking both sides of the street. It's kind of broken up with some buildings here and there, and it's not shown on here. But was there any consideration on keeping that that consistent tree canopy throughout the front or throughout the cul-de-sac, but also in front of your building?
We were under direction to use Pinus canariensis in the property. Pinus canariensis is not typically used in this scenario. It gets pretty big for a site like this, but because of the direction, we made it work, so we wanted to be consistent with the surrounding areas.
Got it. Maybe I misspoke. I meant Canary Island Pine.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Regarding, let me go to my questions here. Is the fence still behind the sidewalk? And is it still a 6-foot fence? Okay. And the sidewalk's going to be 6 feet. And previously, what was previously approved, let me see if I can find it. The project was 57,000 square feet, and it's climbed to 213 plus or minus. But you did add more trees that were previously approved, 164 24-inch box trees. It just seems to me, and I think we'll talk about it in the committee, the priority was for the building first. Let's get the building as big as possible. And then squeeze whatever is left over for parking. And if there's anything left, let's put some trees in. And against the building where you have the most impact, you have a 45 vertical building, right? And you have small trees, small to medium-sized trees, maybe some large ones here and there. I have concerns about the public domain. As you're going down the street, you're going from a 6-foot sidewalk to some places where you have a grass parkway with some Canary Island pines. And then you'll come to your project, and all of a sudden there's a fence, 6-foot fence, right behind the walkway, and a very small landscape where you're squeezing a lot of trees, different species, and 24-inch box trees, which, with all due respect, the size of those, even at 36, it's not going to make much of an impact. And what you're showing here is probably not day one. It's probably...
That's pretty well established.
Yeah. And you can see the height of the building, the scale of the building, you can see the fence. There's just a lot of impact on the public realm. And I'd like to discuss with the committee after public comment, is just to see if there's an opportunity to move that fence behind, whether it's 2 feet, 4 feet, whatever it is we can, to allow some sort of landscape, let the street breathe. Because as a resident of Orange, I'm not going to be entering the building, and what I get to experience is just the public right away, and that's what I'm concerned about.
Thank you for the suggestion, and after our briefing also reviewed our site plan. And the one thing, though, when I went to the project site to post the postings, there are a lot of transients, again, on the street. So, as long as we do have these fence along Strug, I think we are okay with it. The concern is, the long-term upkeeps. I started to see trash and on the street. So it is a problem because the tenant, the neighbor right next to us. So those are some of the immediate concerns we have. We don't mind sharing our beautiful landscape with the pedestrian, with everyone on the street. It just, the concern here is more of a security and maintenance issue.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I do a lot of projects throughout many cities. And there's a lot of plant material you can pick. For me, the priority is planting, social behaviors and things that changes in time. But you can't move a fence in the future. But you can grow defensive planting, you know, plants with thorns, plants that are coarser. You can also do mulch that is a rock mulch that is uncomfortable. There's many design cues that you could do that mitigate, minimize, but you have that public realm. So in terms of design, I completely disagree with you. I don't like to build a prison, in my opinion, just to protect, you know, just for your inside your fence, inside your property. I think the public realm is very important.
Yeah, so what we are looking at right now, this is there. So we have a row of
trees, of crepe myrtles.
Crepe myrtles right here. And then what are the ground covers, Will?
And something like this, because of the public domain and the neighboring property, again, you always want to keep people out of a ground cover area. But we would propose in a scenario like this, Carissa green carpet, which is, you know, reasonably unfriendly to people that may be walking on it. So,
So what we are talking about, Vice Chair, is moving this line of fence inward to the other side of the crepe myrtle trees. Is that what you
are? That would be something that I'd be interested in seeing and getting my approval tonight. Right now, in my opinion, I think there's still some work to be done, some valid concerns in terms of the public realm, public right-of-way, public visual. While inside your fence, the property is going to look beautiful, it's going to be protected, it's going to be... But what I'm worried about is everybody else. And that's, you know, with plant selection, as you mentioned, with proper ground cover, proper mulching, there's many different cues and amenities we could use to have still be beautiful, but also protect your property. Moving on to the species, I see why you're using Italian cypress. It's tall. It's you know, it can be against a building, and when you have such a small planting area, that's a great selection. Some plants I'm not too in favor of, magnolia. You said you have low and medium. You're sort of mixing, you know, something that requires water and something that doesn't require water, all in a drip system that's efficient. And Chinese pistache, we know that's not a water efficient plant, but there in the first statement you say it's water efficient. So there's a lot of contradictions in the plant palette in both the shrubs and trees. Is there a comment regarding that?
Sure. It's complex to design a palette today with AB 1881 standards, Cal Green standards, and most, as I'm sure a lot of people here know, most of these industrial buildings take place in very arid climates, right? So the opportunity to be able to do something special in the city of Orange lends itself well to being able to put trees that do better out here than they would San Rialto. So we tried to take that opportunity to doll it up a little bit more, use something a little bit more consistent with what else is in the city. I understand your concern with that, but the palette, as far as I can see, as far as I tell, I understand your question, and I'm not opposed at all to changing, but that was the thought behind it, was really trying to capitalize on where we were at the location.
Definitely. The size trees that you have, the magnolia, the Chinese pistache, there's plenty of native species, low-water species, that mimic the same form, the same size, but they're more water-wise. And, you know, I'm talking about oaks, I'm talking arbutus, I'm talking about many different species that are here, established, they like the soil, they love the little water. Instead of introducing a Chinese pistache, magnolia, you know, all sorts of, I like the Palo Verde, you know, just different things. If we could just, you know, in the next revision, if that can just be,
sure,
and that can be a conditions of approval, that'd be
well,
great.
No, I'd be happy to. I think arbutus is a great tree, you know, and I do. It sounds like you don't like magnolias, which is okay, but I won't hold it against you.
Magnolias are from where? They're from the south, right?
Yeah, right.
And,
yes.
And it rains a lot, and it doesn't rain here. All the magnolias that I've seen in the city of Orange don't grow as they should. They're kind of stunned. They're underwatered. Under nutrients aren't to par. The soil is different, and they have a lot of litter. It's an evergreen tree. but you get a flowers. Lot of litter because there's very little water. And so, you know, instead of your Tristania comment, you know, instead of putting a tree that you have to fight it and prune it and maintain it, and as an owner, if I was an owner of this property, I would say, well, why am I putting something now? I'm going to have to trim, cut every 6 months, every 9 months. Why don't I put something that's more vertical, something that's, columnar, something that's less effort, uses less water, and it's Southern California, you know, species.
That what do you have in mind?
Oh, well. That's what you get the big bucks for.
Not that big. But I think the challenge with any of these buildings is bringing the verticality down. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, these, as you said, it's a 45-foot tall building. Mm-hmm. There's only so many Italian cypress out there in the world that you can use. Anything else would go in a smaller planter adjacent to the building. I mean, we have Canariensis pines out here, and we're trying to give them as much room as we can because eventually you end up hitting the building and damaging the building, and then they end up becoming maintenance issues. Every tree, in my opinion, said the landscaper, right, should be maintained, trimmed once a year. It just removes the dead out of it, makes it less likely to fall, and it's always a good idea to keep an eye on it. I do see magnolias here in the city and in adjacent cities that do well, but just like everything else, it's a maintenance problem. It's a maintenance issue, and they do require different maintenance practices than Sirsidium Desert Museum, which is a fabulous tree, but isn't really consistent with the history of orange, mm-hmm. as I see it. That's more of a newer drought tolerant, which is a great tree, don't get me wrong. Newer drought tolerant, so. Mm-hmm.
So, as I mentioned earlier, some of these trees are here because of the last round. We had a history of the truck terminal, and those trees were actually approved, and that's why we thought that maybe, mm-hmm. you know, this round, it also will be accepted, but we're open. Open to, yeah. you know, any other species that you think is more suitable.
Yeah. it's a monthly battle in terms of what we feel the city of Orange should have in terms of design guidelines. Mm-hmm. Why I'm here, and probably the committee's here, is to improve what's of the mistakes from the past. Just because it was here and it was previously approved doesn't mean it's okay to use it. We're hoping to improve and have some standards and have some and respond to, you know, what's happening. We're running out of water, and let's respond to that now and learn from that, and hopefully change little by little, and hopefully when standards get established and put into the city, then we can enforce it. Right now it's just a suggestion, it's just my opinion. You know, there's other board members here, committee members here, and it's just something that, you know, I'd like to push at every meeting. And it's no surprise, and I'll continue to do that. Mm-hmm.
So my notes here says magnolia, Chinese pistache are the two that does not provide as much water resist. They require more water, and instead oaks.
Mm-hmm. Arbutus, a strawberry madrone, mm-hmm. Would be a beautiful one in terms of Italian cypress. I would suggest something like, I know it's not native, but it's low water. Icy blue is a great.
Autocarpus icy blue, sure. Mm-hmm. They don't get as tall.
Exactly. That's and then the Tristania, that's my least favorite tree in the entire planet. It's from Australia, but I see it every other week here, and it's against a building, and it's on a property line. There's many others.
Disease resistant. Drought tolerant, evergreen, reasonably clean.
True. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, I've talked enough, and thank you for listening. And
oh, that was great.
And I'd like to turn it over to the committee, see if they have any comments, and we'll go from there. Oh, we have another question. Thank you.
More a comment. The Arbutus chinito is an excellent tree, a beautiful red bark. It'll complement the green on the...
On the building?
Anyway, on the icy blue, that's going to get quite a bit wider. And I think you've got a pretty narrow planting space there. So if I remember correctly from our meeting, it's only going to be about 4 foot wide. So really that Italian cypress is one of the only trees that's really going to fit there. The icy blue, which is an excellent, excellent tree, is probably going to get a little bit wider. But if they want to shear it back, which it certainly takes shearing, they can do that. Or the building gets smaller and creates more space, exactly. And I do agree with Vice Chair Farfan with regards to moving the fence, because if you have the ornamental steel fence right on the sidewalk, as maintenance people, we don't want plant material growing through the fence. So you are gonna have an industrial look, and it would be nice if you can soften that. Maybe, as you suggested, moving it back towards the parking lot, but creating some space in case bumpers do overhang.
Yeah, I'd suggest using a
that could be
shrub.
Rock or some other treatment. Mm-hmm. And that way you have a nice landscape as you're coming down the street. Those are the comments I have.
I believe there's more.
I have a question about lighting. If you go down Struck the other way and you see a couple warehouses, by putting lights, you drive by and it just kind of glares through your side of the window of your car. What are you doing to, what kind of wall packs, if any, because I don't see anything on the facade there, but I know that we talked about this. What are you doing to make sure that, and the question isn't a lighting plan and the, oh, so that's right there. That's the lighting sphere. So you have shrouds, so light does not shine out onto the street into neighborhood or into the cars driving by.
So first, I spoke with our lighting consultant, provided this chart. It's called a BUG rating. It's a backlight, uplight, and glare rating. And the numbers that's shown here, they are low to moderate. Uplight is zero. Backlight is between 1 to 3. And I think the glare also, and these are low to moderate rating here. We could, reduce the intensities for some of these street poles, light poles that's next to Struck Avenue, to make sure, and then move some of the poles around to make sure that there's no light pollution onto outside of the property line. That is something that, I think with the conditions of approval, we could definitely achieve that.
Yeah, I definitely think along Struck there when people are coming home, because it's a neighborhood, if it was, a dimmer set, and then you have safety issues, obviously security issues, and then functional issues with trucks that need to see where they're going, and that would be illuminated proportionally. But thank you.
That's our intention.
Thank you.
So thank you for pointing that out, and we'll make sure that, the lights will stay within the property line.
Thank you.
And to add to that, what color are the lights? I don't see the is it in there? Did I miss it? 3,500? So it's a warm color versus bright white. Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah. That would be my preference. Okay. Is there any other landscape lighting grading? I know that we have the civil here. Questions? I'd like to close it to open it to the committee and close it to the public. Is there any questions, comments, suggestions for conditions of approval that the committee has that I'd like to share? I'd like to start if it's okay. Number one, if we can put as a conditions of approval, if it's okay with the committee, to move the 6-foot fence from the back of walk to a certain distance.
I was thinking that we could move the wrought iron fence at the street from the back of the sidewalk to the back of the whatever the trees are going to be. If they're crepe myrtle trees, but maybe I could just say back of trees. Mm-hmm. Back of trees at the edge of the parking lot.
Okay. And then the next one is just to revisit the tree palette and maybe shrub palette to sort of mitigate their concerns about homelessness, transient, that reflect, and I think the applicant mentioned Carissa and other plant material that sort of can help with that. And we won't list the species, but they can do that in their leisure.
How about if we say revise the tree palette to more water efficient and drought tolerant species for drought tolerance and security in consultation with staff?
That's great.
Okay.
Those are my two recommendations, and I'd like to see if there's any other recommendations.
Was there any, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I wasn't looking at it. I was another tree thing that came up. Do we want to upsize the whatever trees in that are at the front of the project to a 36-inch box.
That'd be great.
I don't see why not, just a few, just to kind of break up the scale a bit, so it's not a consistent 24-inch height, you know. Okay. Scale.
So all 109 or just two? Or
I'd just say maybe a handful if they can, you know, just at the immediate entry, the focal areas, right? Your entry path.
Okay.
Yeah, is it a particular number?
I do want to say that I think this project is a good addition to the city. I just want to make sure that's very clear. Mm-hmm. I looked up your company and your reputation and its sound, and it's great to have you coming to the city of Orange. I want to make that very clear. Do any of the committee members have any comments about color?
While I appreciate your attention to the color, and I like your idea, and I think it would be a nice way to do it, I can't require them to do that when they've provided a neutral color that I think is kind of a, it doesn't stand out as something really super interesting, but it doesn't offend. And I would say that I can make the finding that it upholds the community standards and is internally consistent.
I can agree it does not offend. Any other thoughts or comments?
I have no issue with the color. I honestly think it's, even though it is an updated contemporary look, I don't feel that it's offensive at all. I think that the cool gray is, I think it just blends. It doesn't create a harsh contrast in any way. So I think it's more of a classic palette. So I think it can definitely blend with the city aesthetic.
And I can also note that colors change, you know, paint changes. And if I bought the building, we'd paint a different color. I'm joking. But those applications of color are not permanent elements of the architecture.
I would just like to also comment on the color choice that what you brought up. Those classic colors, they do hide the bulk a bit. And when you think about the shape, the form that we're trying to dress here, I think the least attention paid to the width is probably the best.
Yeah, and I'd like to really commend the architect for creating some nice patterning and horizontal scoring, and really just breaking up a big blocky building with the massing and the recessed areas. I think it really enhances the overall facade of the building. If not, you would have just a big flat rectilinear box. So I think it's challenging to break up a building and do it in a cost-effective way. So I think I commend you on the color palette as well as, you know, the scoring. I think it looks beautiful.
Yes, and Vice Chair and members of the committee, I too concur that I support the project. I took a little bit more of a look at the addendum to the CEQA document. We get to look at some of the architectural elements of it, found it compliant, and that will go to the Planning Commission for its consideration as well. I too respect the color question. I don't find the color problematic, and we're introducing citywide on the west side of Orange a lot of new industrial buildings that are going to raise the bar. So I'm excited about that. At the same time, I do hear we have some lovely mid-century industrial buildings over here that are really lovely. Most of them are one story, so they're not 2, 3, 4, or 45 feet tall. So I'm supportive of the project, and two can make the findings.
Would you like to make a motion?
Chair, Vice Chair Farfan, I would like to make a motion. I would like to move to recommend approval to the Planning Commission of design review number 5140, the Prologis warehouse facility, with the findings and the conditions that are listed in the staff report, as well as three additional
conditions. The first being that the magnolia trees at the front of the project be upsized to a 36-inch box. The second is to move the wrought iron fence at the street from the back of sidewalk to the back of the trees at the edge of the parking lot. And the third is to revise the tree pallet to a more water efficient, to reflect more water efficient species for drought tolerance and for security in consultation with staff.
Second.
Second. Please vote. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, at this time, I'd like to move to adjournment. Our next meeting will be May 21st at 5:30. We will see you there. Thank you. Thank you.
Cash back with the Experience Orange. Simply download the Open Rewards app and create an account. Link your card to track purchases or upload your receipts. Choose the City of Orange as your community. Uploading a receipt is so easy. Just search for the business. Take a photo of your receipt. Enter the